Tuari, pō tiki me tuku mihi ki a koe, Tuari. Congratulations on your appointment of the chairperson to the Needle Exchange program. Thank you so very much for joining us.
Kia ora, ka pai. Thank you for that. Te mihi atu ki a koe.
Yes. So, you know, you're with the Drugs Foundation, so I guess they have been on the New Zealand Needle Exchange Program. It's a national body. That would be a no-brainer to go from there to there. But I get a sense that maybe the wider te ao Māori, you know, te ao Māori doesn't know much about the Needle Exchange Program. Would I be correct or would I be misinformed?
No, I think you're absolutely correct. I think, but in fairness, I don't think a lot of people, Māori or non-Māori, know about the Needle Exchange Program because it's one of those services that is just quietly chugged away for 30 plus years. And the client group, obviously, that it works with aren't sort of prominent. But it's an amazing service. New Zealand was the first country in the world to bring in a needle exchange as a harm reduction tool to stop the spread of HIV and Hep C in the community. It was one of the reasons, anyway. So it's been going nationally, like I say, very quietly for 30 years. It's not surprising at all that people don't know about it, haven't heard of it. I mean, if you didn't use the service or know people who needed the service or work with people who needed the service, then you probably wouldn't know a lot about it.
Yes, I came across it, would have been about 30 years ago, I guess, with a Mama Tere who worked with our street workers back in the day in South Auckland and in the city Auckland, and she talked about needle exchange programs. She was one of a group that had talked about the street working community, and particularly our Takatāpui community, on this program. So I do remember, but I don't remember how it's actually, what the results have been like, what the messaging has been like for our whānau, particularly those on the streets. So if we just talk about those on the streets, what's the uptake like? You know, what is it like for our whānau when it comes to exchanging needles? Because that was actually one of the hurdles, was that if they participated in this program, then there might be repercussions. They might get known by the police, they might get picked up, they'll get arrested. Do we still come under those kinds of attitudes?
Look, definitely, I think the suspicion is still there. But no, I mean, I think now, I mean, going back 30 years, I was an intravenous drug user, and I contracted hepatitis C because of, you know, didn't have access to clean drug using equipment like you can get now. So, suffered and still suffer the consequences of that. Back then, definitely, there was a huge amount of suspicion, but that suspicion, to be fair, was well founded because, there was prior to needles being legally allowed to be exchanged, there were one or two chemists around the country who would do it anyway because they, you know, they had their client group in the community at heart and were trying to do the right things. But the police would literally sit outside some of those chemists and try and catch people. And the possession of a syringe was an offence. So I think some of the, talking about Mama and back in those days, I think that suspicion was well founded and it was grounded in, you know, the reality of the day, which was very much war on drugs. And, be quite severely punished for possessing implements to use drugs with. I think since then, obviously, things have moved on in a huge amount. I think it's much more widely accepted and supported now, not just within the health sector, but also, you know, I think the police and others are fully supportive of and they understand what it's actually about. It's not, you know, harm reduction is about reducing harm, and it's very simply. And it's worked. You know, the number of you know, it's definitely worked to reduce the spread of HIV, AIDS, and other you know, infections or diseases borne by the use of dirty or unsterile equipment. And next sort of big challenge is to get naloxone or Narcan widely available, which is a it works against overdose. So people who overdose get either a shot or a sniff of Narcan, or and it brings them back out of an overdose. And you know, each year, somewhere between 40 and 60 people die of overdose, opiate overdose here in New Zealand. So, you know, there's still some work to be done, but largely, I think it's been a hugely successful program. You know, that has become now very much a part of mainstream health provision within the country.
In terms of needle use and overdose, what are the statistics? How do we sit as Māori in that frame?
Yeah, look, one of the problems always dealing with this issue and you know, this group of clients is because of its illegality, it's always been very, very difficult to get accurate stats and data about the number of users and obviously then their ethnicity. We give out literally millions of syringes every year are exchanged, dirty ones for clean, and all people just buy clean equipment and gear. So, you know, that tells you that the number of people using drugs is pretty high. It's difficult to get a handle on the percentage of those who are Māori, but what I do know is when I worked in Christchurch in the late 90s, as I said, that's going back quite a way, there was about 20, over 20% of people on methadone in Christchurch were Māori. And of course, they, you know, as we know, they all had whānau, they had kids and partners and others. So, you know, anecdotally, I think, as with many other substances, Māori have a higher rate usually of use. Sometimes it's twice as high. Sometimes for some drugs, it's a bit higher than that even. But yeah, so look, it's very difficult to get accurate data because of the ongoing illegality of most drug use.
Yes, so that would be we would that would be understandable. And so with your new position as the chair, when have you is this taken up, and for how long will the tenure be?
It's a 2-year appointment, and it only happened last week on Thursday of last week. Yeah, so it's a great challenge. It's something, as you mentioned right at the start, it fits very nicely with the Drug Foundation work, which is general sort of harm reduction across all drugs across the country. This is probably more a bit more localized or a bit more specific to intravenous drug users and the equipment that's needed to keep people safe and stop people from experiencing harm because of their drug use. Yeah, for 2 years. It's also, you know, what I love about needle exchange is, you know, it has been around for 30 years. It's a group of very, very passionate and committed people, many of whom are peers. And, you know, ultimately they're about wanting to help people stay safe and, yeah, not experience harm.
I guess COVID and lockdown, would that put pressure on the ability to, you know, to exchange needles, to roll out the program? There must be some impact, some ne negative impact on the ability to run this program because of COVID.
No, I think I mean, it's an essential service, the provision of it's a health service, and the health services are open and remain open during COVID lockdown level four. There are also a lot of the equipment. There are machines that dispense the equipment. So in some places, so it's not reliant on people necessarily to be there 24 hours a day or from 9 to 5. Definitely. Access has been maintained during COVID lockdowns, but I mean, the impact, I guess, is the same on all of us for getting anything. It's just a bit harder to get out and about and get around the traps, but it is, like I say, it's an essential service, so they have been open and working through level four.